Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I want to wish you all a happy and blessed Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We have made it through the six-week season of Lent. We have gone through all of the events of Holy Week, and here we are on this wonderful and beautiful Easter day, which just so happens to fall on April Fool's Day this year, which I know a lot of people have made a lot of jokes about. First, Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday being the same day, and now Easter and April Fool's Day being on the same day. Growing up, my brother's birthday is on April 1st, and so, you know, obviously we weren't allowed to play April Fool's tricks on him because it was his birthday. So I just got into the habit of thinking about it as my brother's birthday, not necessarily as April Fool's Day, which meant that I was prone to fall for jokes on that day because I thought it's Eric's birthday. It's not necessarily April Fool's Day. But frankly, April Fool's Day and Easter makes sense to me because, I mean, it wasn't a joke when Jesus rose from the grave, but it probably seemed like a really bad joke to a lot of people. I mean, in some ways you can be kind of lighthearted about it and say, ha, surprise, the tomb is empty. Or, haha, April Fool's, he's not really dead. I mean, obviously that's tongue-in-cheek, and I'm not being completely serious about that. But, you know, this was a huge surprise. This was a very unexpected event to occur in the lives of the followers of Jesus. So I think that April Fool's Day and Easter really go well together. Maybe not as well as chocolate and peanut butter or something along those lines. But to me, they actually make a lot of sense going together. At any rate, it is Easter, and for this Easter Sunday, there are two assigned texts. Well, no, there are five assigned texts. If you remember from last year and the year before, and really any year, if you are a lectionary-based, if you're part of a lectionary-based denomination, in the season of Easter, we do not have an assigned Old Testament text during the season of Easter. We have an assigned text from the reading or from the book of Acts. So it goes, instead of Old Testament text, Psalm, New Testament text, gospel reading during the season of Easter, we have reading from Acts, reading from a Psalm, reading from the New Testament, and reading from the gospel. So on Easter, we actually have two gospel texts assigned. There is the assigned gospel text and then the alternate gospel text. So two assigned gospel texts plus the text from Acts, the text from Psalm, and the text from a Psalm, and text from, in this case, 1 Corinthians. So there are five texts assigned for this week. And since the two gospel texts are different versions of the Easter story, I thought that I would do the John reading today. And then on Wednesday, when we have our midweek episode, I would do the reading from Mark and talk a little bit about that text. So that's my thought for this week of Easter. And then next week going forward, I'll probably just go back to those four assigned readings, knowing that there's not an Old Testament text, but a reading from Acts. So that's my thinking. Just wanted to let you know what's going on in my brain these days. It's a lot. There's a lot going on in my brain right now. It's a very busy place. It's like hamsters running around on wheels. That's beside the point. So, as I said, two assigned gospel texts for this week. We're going to start with the reading from the book of John. That is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And those verses are as follows. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So this is the gospel text, the Easter gospel text from the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And there's a lot that goes on in this text, in these 18 verses. I mean, it's still dark. The Sabbath is now over. So in some versions of the story in the Gospels, it's more than one woman. In this account, it is just Mary Magdalene who goes to the tomb. Now that the Sabbath is over, they can go and take more care of Jesus's body than they were able to do when they laid him in the tomb, because they were running out of time. It was almost the Sabbath, and so they did what they could, and they laid him in the tomb with the intent of coming back when the Sabbath was over, and they were able to do more. So in this account, it's just Mary, and she gets to the tomb and sees that the stone has been moved, and Jesus isn't there. And she runs. She runs back to the other disciples. She goes to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And he's not named in this gospel, but he's mentioned often in the Gospel of John. And you might remember from the Good Friday text when Jesus said to this disciple whom he loved, in reference to his mother Mary, "This is your mother and this is your son." So there's this disciple that is in the Gospel of John. People assume it was, you know, John himself that is saying that Jesus, this is the disciple whom Jesus loved so much that he gave his mother to him to take care of. They gave them to each other, really, to take care of each other after Jesus was gone. So she runs. As you can imagine, she is terrified, because the body of her teacher, her friend, her Messiah is gone, and she doesn't know what's happened. She doesn't know what to do, so she runs to the disciples, which makes perfect sense, and Simon Peter and the other disciple run back to the tomb. Peter gets there first, the other disciple gets there first. He looks in, but he doesn't go in. When Peter goes in, he sees the linen wrappings and the linen that was lying over Jesus' face. They are still there, but the body is not. So the mystery deepens. They have taken the body, they're thinking, but not the wrappings. So what is going on? In this version, Simon Peter and the other disciple, you know, they don't say anything. They see that the tomb is empty and they leave. And you can kind of understand, who knows where they're going. Maybe they're going to ask questions. Maybe they're so upset, so freaked out that they don't know what to do. But Mary stays there and she's weeping, as you can understand. And then Jesus appears to her, but she doesn't realize that it's Jesus. And there could be a lot of reasons for this, but really, why would you expect Jesus to be standing there as you're weeping because you cannot find his body, right? And he says, why are you weeping? And maybe she doesn't even really look at him. She's crying so hard, and she just assumes it's the gardener, someone who's come into the garden, and she wants to know what has happened to Jesus' body. And then he says her name, Mary. He calls her by name, and that identity allows her to recognize Jesus. We are going to take our first break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll be talking more about this Easter text from John chapter 20. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are talking today about the assigned reading for Easter from the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. We read those verses before the break. And so we gather together on Easter, as we always gather, to proclaim the good news of the risen Christ. As I said at the very beginning of this episode, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I don't know if you say that or a version of that in the church that you go to. Christos Anesti is what the Greek is, and sometimes that is said in certain churches. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And then we can say the Alleluias that were put away for Lent. We take away the Alleluias, that joyful Alleluia, during the season of Lent. But we gather as a community, and we gather with the disciples around the surprise of that now empty tomb. And as I said, this year, we hear the story from the perspective of John's gospel. It's full of a lot of details. I mean, it's 18 verses, as we heard, but it still leaves us with some questions, as I was talking a little bit about before the break. So when it's still dark, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb to mourn or to take care of Jesus' body or whatever she is doing, again, only to discover that the tomb is empty. The rock has been moved and the tomb is empty. She is frightened. She's confused. She runs to tell the disciples, as we already discussed. Peter and the beloved disciple go to the tomb. We don't know what the other disciples were doing. That's one of the questions that this text brings up. Where were the other disciples? Why is it only Simon Peter and the beloved disciple? Is that just the first two that Mary encountered and they didn't bother going and telling the others? That's plausible. But we don't know. So the beloved disciple reaches the tomb first, doesn't go in. Peter does go in, and then they both see that the body is gone. The linens are folded neatly, which, as I mentioned before, is important because it's a good clue. It might mean that the body hasn't been stolen, or if it has been stolen, it's been stolen by incredibly neat thieves, right? Would the thieves strip the body before stealing it? Probably not. So seeing this, the beloved disciple, it says, believes, although we're not sure exactly what the beloved disciple believes, because it then follows that sentence up with they didn't yet believe what Jesus had told them. And so he apparently now does believe what Jesus had told them. We're not sure what Peter's reaction is. For once, he doesn't say anything that gives us a clue into what's going on in his brain. But they both leave. Maybe they both go back to tell the other disciples what they have seen. Again, maybe they go to ask questions. We're not sure. Mary, though, comes back into the story at this point. She's been there, of course, but she's brought back into the narrative. And this is where she encounters the resurrected Jesus, again, even though she does not recognize him, thinking maybe he's the gardener. She is understandably excited about, well, she's understandably upset, and then she's understandably excited, and then she has this conversation with Jesus. Now, the lesson for today ends with Peter and the beloved disciple seeing the empty tomb, and then Mary actually having a conversation with the resurrected Christ. Mary reports that she has seen Jesus and has had a conversation with him, but the text doesn't indicate whether any of them really understood the full implications of what had happened. So she has this conversation with Jesus, and then we get this very brief summary, this brief conclusion, where she goes back to the disciples to tell them what happened now. I mean, she found the empty tomb. She ran to tell the disciples. Simon Peter and the beloved disciple came back with her. Then she has this conversation with Jesus, and he says, go and tell my brothers what you have heard. And she does, but we don't get their reactions. We don't know if they believed. We don't know if they think she's crazy. They could have had any number of reactions. This is much different from the way the reading that we have from the Gospel of Mark ends, and that ends on the years that we read from the Gospel of Mark, which is the alternate reading, and we'll be talking more about that on Wednesday's podcast. That ends with the women fleeing in fear. It just ends with fear. It's not exactly the good news of the risen Christ. It just ends with fear. But John's account gives us a more hopeful response, but maybe not necessarily a less confused one. We're here on Easter, and if you went to church, I'm assuming you went to church because you have heard the promises of Jesus' resurrection, and you believe those promises. And while we might now look on the empty tomb as reason to rejoice rather than reason to be afraid, I wonder if we're any less confused about the promises of Easter than those first disciples were. If we understand it any more than those first disciples did, maybe we do. We've had a really long time to think about it, right? I mean, 2,000 years of study and people discussing it and dissecting it and figuring it out. My sister and I recently had a conversation that reminded me so much of the promises of Easter. The church she attends has a Wednesday after school program rather than Sunday school. And my sister is one of the teachers for that program. So their last session for this school year was April, this is April 1st. It was last month. And they decided that since they were concluding before Easter happened, that they would talk about the Holy Week texts and Easter. They would talk about the story of Jesus's death and resurrection. And she said that the kids were just wild and squirrely that day. They were wiggly. They were having trouble listening. You know, they knew it was the last day and they were just goofy. She said they were doing okay for the most part. At least until they were getting into the end of the story. And just as my sister was talking about Jesus' resurrection and the promises of Easter and how these are acts of salvation and gifts of grace and forgiveness, one little boy reached out as another little boy walked by, grabbed his ankle, and just sent that poor kid sprawling. Just knocked him right over. And the kid was okay, but my poor sister was mortified about the whole event. And had I been in that position, I don't know if I would have been mortified or if I would have been trying not to laugh or if there had been a combination thereof. I mean, because, you know, come on, kid, don't reach out and just trip your neighbor. Let's try to be kind to one another, right? But since I wasn't the one who was teaching that day, since I was just hearing the story, I said something along the lines of, oh, that is perfect. much to my sister's somewhat shocked horror, maybe, but I actually meant it. I actually meant that is perfect, because think about it. We gather every year on Easter to hear the story, to proclaim the risen Christ, to sing all of those fabulous hymns with all of their alleluias. Some churches have brass. Some churches make a big production of Easter and the music and all of that. Some other churches go less simple, but no, it's no less beautiful, the services that we have. But even as we hear the promises, and it's not just on Easter, but every time we gather as a community to worship, we are reminded of these promises, the promises of the resurrection. And even as we hear those promises, even as we know we are forgiven, we know we've been saved through Christ, we're all in some ways still like that kid in my sister's Wednesday school class. We're all still just as likely to reach out, grab our neighbor by the ankle, and yank, sending him or her sprawling. And we do it for all sorts of reasons, but those reasons are going to have to wait. I'm going to leave you hanging for just a minute. We do have to take our second break of the podcast. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be talking about more about, you know, forgiveness, sin, sending our neighbor sprawling, etc. And we'll be talking more about those promises of Easter and how appropriate it is that Easter falls on April Fool's. Ha! April Fool's, I'm going to reach out and trip you, right? Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast on this wonderful day of Easter. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. We're talking about the promises of Easter. And before the break, I told the story of the kid in my sister's Wednesday school class who was listening to these promises, listening to the story, and decided it was a really opportune time to trip his neighbor. Which, you know, doesn't surprise me about squirrely, goofy, giggly kids. But hopefully you're getting that what I was talking about in terms of us, we, all of us, doing the same thing to our neighbors was a metaphor, right? I mean, maybe you find it funny to reach out and actually literally physically grab your neighbor's ankle and yank. But I'm meaning this as a metaphor. We hear the promises of Easter. We know we have been given this incredible gift of grace and salvation. And yet that doesn't negate the fact that we are all still human. We still have human flaws. We still possess human sinfulness. The disciples lived and traveled with Jesus for 3 years. They lived with him. They saw him heal people. They heard him teach and preach on numerous occasions. They had the opportunity to listen to him on even more occasions when he was just teaching them. Not necessarily teaching the crowds. I mean, these were disciples who were in the perfect situation to hear the promises of Jesus, to know what was going to happen, and yet they still never quite understand what Jesus is telling them. They heard him again say on more than one occasion what was going to happen, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be killed, but that on the third day he would rise again. How his being the Messiah was going to be different from all of their expectations, because many people thought that the Messiah would come and be more of a military Messiah, that he would overthrow the Roman government, set the people free from that oppression that they had been living under. And Jesus kept saying he's not that kind of Messiah. He was going to be different from all of their expectations. But of course, the disciples were also human, and they probably had a really hard time letting go of those expectations. If you have heard those stories over and over your entire life about the Messiah coming and overthrowing the tyranny that you've been living under, it's hard to let those expectations go. And so if they heard the promises, they didn't always internalize them. They didn't fully accept them or understand them until much, much later. And even then, they still made mistakes in their understanding, which makes it all kind of sound a little depressing and hopeless, right? Because if the disciples who lived and traveled with Jesus and witnessed firsthand his teachings, his miracles, etc., still didn't believe, then how are we who have not seen Jesus physically, up close and personal, how are we supposed to believe in these promises? But it's not depressing and hopeless. In fact, it's just the opposite. This gospel reading begins while it's still night and ends with the revelation of the risen Jesus, the light of the world, as he is described at the beginning of John's gospel. John's gospel begins by talking about Jesus as that light in the darkness, that light that the darkness cannot overcome. And here at the end of his narrative, we see how true that statement is. The darkness of Good Friday is replaced by the light and joy of Easter. So even if we find ourselves hearing and seeing the promises unfold, but we're having trouble understanding them, like the disciples in John's Gospels, the other lessons for today, and we of course didn't read those lessons, but if you want to go to your lectionary and read them, all of those lessons that are assigned for Easter point to the joy and the steadfastness of God's promises. They remind us that God's love and God's promises are as alive today as they were on that first Easter. They remind us that God's promises are eternal, even when we don't always believe them or respond to them in appropriate ways. The disciples themselves rarely got it right during Jesus' lifetime, and yet it is to exactly these flawed, somewhat confused people to whom Jesus first appeared. We live in a world that so often seems dark and confusing and lacking in tangible examples of hope. This is where the promises and power of Easter comes in. Each year, as we gather together in our communities to celebrate the risen Christ, as we gather together to celebrate that wonderful surprise of the empty tomb, we gather also to be reminded that in that empty tomb and in Christ's resurrection, we have been given an amazing gift. We gather to celebrate the light of Christ and its presence in our lives. This doesn't mean that we are going to always get it right. It doesn't mean we're going to do things perfectly. In fact, we're just as likely today, tomorrow, next week to reach out and metaphorically grab our neighbor's ankle and yank, right? We're just as likely as we were to do that yesterday before the fanfare of Easter and the reminder of those promises. But there's hope. Of course there's hope, because Jesus is the light of the world. Because we celebrate Christ's resurrection, we celebrate that God's promises extend even beyond death and the tomb. So hopefully, as we go forth from the Easter celebrations, we will do so with the light of Christ rekindled inside of us. If you attended an Easter vigil this year, then often the Easter vigil starts with a kindling of the new fire. and it starts in darkness, but you start that fire and you light the candle from that fire, and then everyone lights their candles from the one candle, and the light grows and grows. And then when you announce the resurrection, then the lights come on and you're no longer in darkness. You're in the light of the resurrected Christ. Hopefully you can take that light out into the world with you. Hopefully you can take a sense of hope with you. You'll have that sense of hope welling up inside of you because you've celebrated Christ's resurrection. You've been reminded through everything that you see on Easter Sunday at worship, the music and the flowers and the celebration and the just everything, that God's love is steadfast and God's promises endure forever. And so may the blessings of those Easter promises go out into the world with us. May they fill us with hope and give us encouragement to love our neighbors by reflecting the light of Jesus in whatever darkness we encounter in our daily life. And so we say with hope, with joy, with all of the joy we can muster, we say, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. And that is all the time that we have for this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Please join me again on Wednesday when I'll be looking at the alternate assigned gospel text for Easter. That comes from the Gospel of John. In the meantime, of course, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, anywhere you have an app for your mobile device. Just type in GSMC and you'll find all of our podcasts. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. And we would also love if you came and if you had questions, if you had prayer requests, if you had comments, really anything, come and find me on social media and interact with me. I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining me. May you have a wonderfully blessed Easter. May you go out and take the light of Christ with you in the world, remembering that you are indeed a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.